Welcome to Product-Led Growth Leaders, where we learn about the bold path of building digital products that sell themselves. Let's listen to product leaders who can give us a glimpse into the innovative thinking process. Showcasing and celebrating these awesome folks, I'm your host, UX and product design veteran, Thomas Watkins. Welcome to Product-Led Growth Leaders. We've got a great guest for the show today, Andrew Bolton. He has an extensive background in tech support and customer support, and today he is the CEO of Tech Rescue, which is a 24/7 tech support platform, and the publication F6 listed it as one of the top 100 startups in the U.S. in 2024. Andrew, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So let's get into what it is that you guys do. Are you like Geek Squad and you do tech support? If someone breaks it and you fix it, where do you fit in the ecosystem?
Where we fit into the ecosystem is we're basically 24-hour just human support. So 9 out of 10 times, the reason why people call us is because they've done everything that you're supposed to do. You've maybe powered down the computer, restarted it. You've done things. You've called your nephew. You called your son. You called your daughter. You've Googled it. You've YouTubed it. Where we get a call is because you're done with that. You're done. And then you call the company, and then you get press 1 for English, 2 for Spanish, and then you get the maze. And then did you say or hand me my account, when really at the end of the day, you just want to talk to somebody.
Yeah. And that is a big problem, and it's not spoken of very much. Whenever I have an issue with some apps not working right or something, I Google it and I usually end up on some kind of a Reddit message board or some kind of a question answer message board. And sometimes I find my answer. A lot of times I don't. And if I'm not to a certain level of technical proficiency, the answer might not even help me. So who is your target? Is it anyone? And
it's funny how we got started. This all started with my grandmother and my father. My grandmother was really big on genealogy. So when Facebook came out in the early 2000s, it sounds creepy, but here's an old lady stalking everybody from the family on Facebook and like trying to find out everything about you. Sounds creepier than it was, but she was really into it and it worked for genealogy. And my father, since being around since the Dewey cards, him not being able to forward an email, it's just like, how is there like nothing there to help you? Dad, this is like the 9th time I've showed you how to do this. There's no nothing. And mom looked at me and I looked at her and we pulled out these magical devices. There was nothing out there. I'm not even kidding. There was literally in 2022, there was nothing out there that was a 24-hour customer service, anything. Yeah, there was Geek Squad. Yeah, there were the big boys, but they had store hours and you had to set up an appointment. If you're a college kid at 3:30 in the morning, actually now starting on your essay and you're 8 Red Bulls deep, yeah, there ain't nothing open until class and you need to have a paper ready by class. So there was nothing there and it just spread. And it just, I know it's going to sound really cliche, but customer service, people actually want to talk to people. Who would have thought, right?
Yeah. And it's not, you touched on a few things there, because one of them is that you have the cohort of aging adults who I think a lot of folks think they woke up one day in a world that's just completely different from anything that they understand. I think many of us have had the experience of, you might be with a grandma, a grandpa, you might be helping someone out and you go over to their computer and then you're like, good God, what's wrong with your browser? You've got 5 different toolbars from all this spamware and all of this stuff going on and you don't know, you have to get some stuff to clean this up and fix this.
In their defense, since the real computing power of 1969, when we put a man on the moon, technology has aged at about 5x since then and it's only increased. So if you think about it, I'm 36, so I'm the last tail end of the millennials, right? Before Gen Z. We grew up and we got introduced to the internet. Cell phones were first given to us. We were the first generation of kids that had a cell phone. We were the first ones to actually have social media, which started off as MySpace, which nobody knows about. And then it went to Facebook. And then we saw the invention of Instagram and Twitter. These kids have no idea what AOL chat is. So they have no idea that sound. And all the while we were being introduced to this technology, our parents and grandparents were watching this stuff explode. They had to send signals that had an 8-minute relay to the moon or landing. And I can send a text to the other side of the planet at light speed.
And it is something that is hard to break out of. You were tech native, as you described it, to the cell phone generation, the social media generation. And if you ask every generation, they've done studies on this, of what they find easy technology, it always happens to be what technology was out during a certain age range. I forgot what the exact age
Six,
range was.
it's about 6 years old to about 13 years old. That's where your cognitive dissonance is extremely mobile, where your curiosity phase is at its most peaked form, right? So this is where kids start shaping the form of, I want to be a ballerina, I want to study dinosaurs, I want to be an astronaut, I want to be, and they start going in down these rabbit holes. With the invention of these technologies, these kids can look everything up on these particular subjects and never have to leave their room. So now, what was once you going to the library or making a day out of it, like we did, right? You wanted to go get new comic books, right? Darth Vader, the entire Darth Vader series, you had to go to the library or you had to go to the comic book store. Now, what's a book? What's a book? Think about it. Barnes and Noble's, the bookstore, has been consolidating for the past 10 years. Less and less is being offered on book form. More and more is being offered on Kindle form. We have a generation of kids that have no idea what the word dial-up means. They have no concept of this. We are going towards that generation where they're going to be like, what's a book?
I hope not. But I
What?
see what you're saying. A physical book. Or they may say, oh, a book. Of course, it's this electronic thing that you pull up, just like an
Exactly.
article or
Exactly.
something like that.
So our business works in this world of bridging the gap between I need stuff to get done. Everybody has grandparents that have gotten Bluetooth, tablets. We've given them all the most powerful tools they've ever had in their entire life. And at the same time, they're as comfortable as working a jitterbug. You don't think this is not going to go sideways?
So let's talk about the marketplace, because what you describe is the aging adult cohort, and maybe it's beyond that, and let me know how much beyond that it is.
To give an
What's the
example,
business case for that? Go ahead.
officially, as of the census, there is 86 million Americans legally registered over the age of 65. We estimated somewhere around 92 million Americans here in the United States, on the continental United States, that are over the age of 65. Now, why is that number important? Because 62% of them are computer illiterate and 72% of them have a smart device, which means that Apple and Android are in line with 72% of that entire market. 16% of which do not know how to use a computer and they're not comfortable with technology. Now, there's classes, there's things online, but the number one reason why we exist is the fact that we have gone to a place where the word optimization has now reached the tipping point.
Explain, break that apart a little bit more for us.
Okay, so we all know this fantastic buzzword. We're going to optimize. We're optimizing our company. We're optimizing efficiency. Where does that word come from? That word comes from the Lean Six Sigma practice of bottlenecking. And one of the number one ways of reducing bottlenecking is reduction, finding where the bottleneck is in the lineup and reducing it. We see it right now in the government, right? We're reducing what we call optimizing the government and getting rid of people. It's an effective tactic. Now, say what you want about it. This practice has been going on since the 1980s when we had the Michael Milkens, AKA Gordon Gekko, the Wolf of Wall Street. That whole business practice was buying junk bonds of companies, right? C plus bonds, which were essentially very asset less based assets, and then basically flipping them, making the company profitable again, and then flipping the company out. That's optimizing because they reduce the overhead of the company by firing tens of thousands of workers. Optimization goes through the roof because reduction of staff, reduction of cost, reduction of operational exposure. Thus, productivity goes up for a short period of time, which makes it look good for a short period of time, and thus making it more profitable for a short period of time. And what do companies do? They buy a company that's optimizing itself at 3, 4, 5x. So let's say you reduce your overhead by, let's say, 1,000 people, but that's only going to run you a certain amount. But you crank up workloads, you push the working hours, and you basically try to drop the hammer down. You make the company more valuable for about a year and a half, 2 years, and then you bring it to the open market and buy it out at about 3 to 5. So let's say the company was worth 2, it's now worth 5. At 3, you sold the company for $15 million, but you burnt out the engine. Now, the word optimization that we have here in this country is being put across all aspects of life. So when you call a company and there's nobody answering the phone, that's because once upon a time there was somebody answering the phone. Now, that reduced staff, that reduced cost, that reduced insurance, that reduced electricity, utilities, or COGS, cost of operating goods sold, or the overall cost of the business. That works to a certain point until when getting in touch with the company becomes more effort than the cost or price of the service that you offer. If it takes me more work and takes me more effort, you are losing a customer. Why? Because you're now taking away one of the main pillars of a sale, one of the main pillars of business, convenience. I hired you, I paid you as a convenience. And if you are now making it more inconvenient for me to have you do things for me, you're going to lose customers. And I'm sorry, but I think we're starting to see that across the board.
Yeah, so this is super interesting. I love how you laid that out, how the supply side of the equation said, hey, let's optimize, fire everyone, and then who's left will be the skeleton crew who keeps the ship going. And then, but on the demand side, it's I'm paying a certain amount for the service, and then I'm trying to get basic help to keep it running. And when that the price and the cost of that goes up above a certain point, it just becomes non-starter.
Diminishing, it's a diminishing return. You now
It's a
are
diminishing
in the, you're
return.
now in the level of diminishing returns to your company. We all have services or products in our life that we can deal with. There's a level of pain and inconvenience that we'll tolerate for whatever it is that we have. For example, in New York City, you got to get from one end of Manhattan to the other. Now you could walk. You could take a bus, you could take a taxi, or you could take a train. Either one of these are not convenient, but which one to what level is most convenient and less painful to you? You start leveling, when you start increasing the inconvenience and pain to the price in which that you're paying, when you finally come over that threshold, you now are in the law of diminishing returns. You now are going to be starting. You are now in the realm of drastic decision making as a business.
Right. So let's get into differentiators. What makes Tech Rescue different from a standard call center?
Well, one, we're actually human.
Well, I
No,
guess once upon a
but
time,
believe it or
call
not,
centers.
you know, when you start looking at these AI companies that reach out to business owners and they say they have these call centers. Okay, what is a call center to an AI bot? Where's your training program? Who's your training program? What protocols do you have in place for hot situations? See, this is what I love about the AI competition. No AI chatbot is legally authorized to handle a suicide. Why is that?
Because we don't trust it.
No chatbot is ever going to get in touch with human emotion. And that's why you're calling Tech Rescue. That's what makes me different. Number one, I'm 24 hours a day. Nobody else is. And number two, I actually use people. So when you call me because you're irritated, the very first thing I can do, which can lower your cognitive dissonance by 10%, is saying, Mrs. Johnson, how are you? Mr. Watkins, thank you for calling Tech Rescue. How are you? What can I do for you? The fact that I recognize you, the fact that your name pops up on a screen and I can identify you as a person lowers the cognitive dissonance, or what they would consider in psychology, the anger, like our anger levels, by about at least 10%. Because you, as an individual, you are calling because you have a problem, right? You are in a state of stress. Recognizing you as an individual, studies have proven, lowers that stress level by at least 10%. You are recognized as a person. What's the one thing that you don't want to hear on the phone when you're pissed off? What's your account number?
Yeah.
You just felt your blood pressurized, didn't you?
And
Because
even
guess
just
what? You
knowing you're
have.
talking to a robot and they don't understand what you're saying, and you're saying operator or human, put a human on the phone, because it's frustrating when it's in some kind of a either a dialogue loop or just the AI isn't up to
Now,
understanding you.
let's add on top of that. How long have you been on hold? I love my competition. I really do. Keep doing what you're doing.
Well, and so here's the other thing I want to add on to what you're saying is that with this AI revolution, I think a lot of people just jumped totally in. They thought that AI was just pure magic and that everything's been worked out, everything's been figured out. And they're slowly realizing that vibe coding is not the same thing as coding. Vibe designing or AI,
I got
it
one
does
word
a
for you.
lot, but it doesn't do everything. It leaves out important nuances.
I've got one word for you. Drop shipping. Remember that? How many people do we know in our own personal inner circles that are drop shippers? Now, what are they doing?
Where did the drop shippers go? What did they move on to? Because that was all the rage some years back.
What do you think we're talking about right now? What? ChatGPT walked into the bar and now everybody has an AI bot? I wonder how that happened.
Right.
I wonder if you were to go take a look at that website, write code, right click on source file, and then you do source index where you can see the source. We're gonna scroll all the way up. And you go to ChatGPT. I wonder where the same source code came from.
Right. Now, so interesting here. So your business model is recognizing the advantages of that human nuance and that it fills certain gaps. And it fills important gaps, by the way, because if I have a problem that needs to be fixed, oftentimes it is a nuanced problem where there's a major chunk of the problem that might be more obvious, but how do I make sure this doesn't happen again? Or can you teach me something about the system? So are with a human workforce. This also reminds me of when something is low tech, then the high tech replaces it. But if you wait long enough, sometimes, like in fashion, the low tech can become high tech again. So.
I know where you're going. The wonderful thing about our company is that we're a sailboat with a crew. So, however the ocean wants to play is we're a sailboat with a crew. Technology is going to change, right? We know that technology is changing ever so rapidly, right? We have the iPhone 17, which is whatever different than 16. I couldn't tell you. But where we do see technology really starting to ramp up is in pharmaceuticals and in cyber pharmaceutical help. That'll adapt, that will change. People will need help with that. People are always going to need help, regardless of what we have going on in the world. People will always need help. And where our business has the lasting power is that where it's silly, but it's true, is where all of these companies, all of what we're doing right now is we're forgetting the one thing. And you hear it in political stages, you hear it a lot, is that we're talking about society and people forget one thing. We're still human. We're still mammals. We're still a species. We have a species name. Homo sapien is our species. You want to know why the 70s and late 60s were probably some of the greatest selling eras of all time? Companies spent the money on researching humans and what makes us tick rather than the products themselves or the features. They sold the person. We as a people like communicating with each other. That's why you still talk to your mom every other day. That's why your grandmother is trying to find a way to use FaceTime when she doesn't understand it because she wants to see her grandchildren face to face, even if it is 3,000 miles away. It's why you still make the effort to call your relatives on the other side of the planet on their birthday with everybody gathered around the tablet. Why? Why? Because deep down inside, it still speaks to our core as a species. We are a tribe species. We
That's
want
right.
to
Everything
communicate.
about us has evolved to be very social, from our facial expressions, your eyes, the fact that the whites of your eyes are most of the eyes and you can see where people are looking. We evolved so much of our brain is around social intelligence. Yeah.
So regardless, so whatever technology comes our way, whatever we're doing, whether we all have chips implanted into our heads, like Futurama and The Simpsons, which by the way is always scary that The Simpsons planned it. So if you want to play Nostradamus, just start going through The Simpsons episodes and plan ahead. But my point being is, regardless of what we're doing, if you notice, we're always still together. We're always trying to be together. We're always trying to communicate to one another. Why? Because that's our species. That's our species. And that's why I know our company's not going away. If anything, it will grow. Because as more and more as we spread out across the globe, being a global species, and then eventually a one day an interstellar species, what's the one thing that we're still going to try to keep doing? Communicating.
Andrew, so it's humans are the core. Do you have a software platform on top of that, web tools, app tools that fill in the gaps where people can have access in different ways?
So basically, we really don't run anything per se. So what happens is you have a problem, you call us. We send you an email link. It's an encrypted link. It's bank encrypted. We now gain access to your tablet, laptop, or phone. You have a problem, we get to it, we solve it. Boom. Done. We break the link. I can't gain access to your device ever again until I send you a brand new link. And for $34.99 a month, you can call me anytime you want, day or night, as much as you want. Because at the end of the day, really what you're trying to do is have somebody help you fix this and move on. You don't want to be reading manuals. You don't want to be looking at YouTube videos. You don't want to be going ahead. And yes, during the early stages of the company, I've heard it all from people. I just call my son. I know. Go right ahead. But he's at work and you have a problem now. You're gonna need to fix it. And then it evolved. I have college students. I have college kids. I didn't think about it, but I went, that makes actual sense. If you're writing a paper at 3 o'clock in the morning and you just started on it and you've lost connectivity or your paper just disappears. If you were like me in college and you're about eight Red Bulls deep and a couple of Hot Pockets in you, stress is going to make you do crazy things. So instead of flipping the chair over and screaming, call Tech Rescue. We can help you. I've been there. I've been there.
Now, how do people get started?
It's easy. You call 855-250-8586. Your first call is absolutely free. Give us a call. We'll solve it for you. You like it. You sign up $34.99 a month or $380 for the whole year, which is a 30% discount. And once you pay for the year, all right, give you an example. I priced it at a way that if you can spend the extra $500 on the new Jordans this year, you can buy Mama insurance. You can buy Mama tech insurance. I'm cheaper than a new pair of Jordans, any size. What do you guys say now? What do you guys say now?
And I think there's a lot of growing room there because if you have a tech presence and an app presence, I think there's a ton of market to penetrate and a lot of opportunity to get connected
This
with
is
folks who
all
don't
right.
use their phone as much.
Okay. All right. This is for you and only you. Only you.
All
Okay.
right, I feel special already.
This is top secret information. This is the entire United States in terms of cybersecurity. It's most of it's comprised of Kaspersky and
For the listening audience, Andrew is holding up a pie chart to the screen, breaking down market share.
this is all the small businesses in America, which make up about 181 million small registered small businesses in America. Now, how many of our friends and family have businesses that have Cash App and Venmo and everything else in between? We all do. Once that
Right.
got invented, the self-help Joe Bob down the street mechanic, that once that party got started, everybody's a small business. Whether you happen to be registered or not is a different story, but there's 181 million registered small businesses in America. Over 50% of them still do not have cybersecurity or protection. You want to know why? Lack of knowledge, lack of accessibility, or they're too small to be even looked at by any of the big boys, which means what? That means it's open duck
It's a
season.
market gap there.
There's a market gap there. Now, I'm not looking to take all of that pie, but what I do see is that there's a lot of people that need a lot of help and nobody's helping them. That's what I see.
I'm exciting to hear about your success. I love to hear about where it's going to grow in the future and how you will expand even what you're doing today into the future.
One of the best things that I can say right now is that we've seen what capitalism has done for the sake of generating alpha, just for the sake of it. You can become a profitable company by doing good too. One of the things I've learned in 2025 from our past years is I'm looking at the economy itself and how what money, the idea of money is doing, right? We have cryptocurrency flying around at light speed, and people are valuing things based off of what they're seeing in crypto. Now, whatever your opinions are of crypto, it's monetization enough where it's technically real. There's channels to real assets that makes it a legitimate asset. Whatever you believe in it, it's legitimately an asset. It's tied to enough things that it holds itself. We're not really doing anything with that. We're not making anything with that. We're not solving problems with any of that. We're just making money for the sake of money. And if we take about a 50,000 foot view of what's going on in the world, I don't think that's been going well for us as a whole. I don't think that's doing so hot. One of the things that mom and I are doing is that all proceeds that we don't need to keep the company running and growing, we donate. There's good to be done, and you can do it with a profit. So I think what we need to start looking at, maybe culturally, I'm just posing the question for everybody out there, is that if we as Tech Rescue can do good and make a profit, why can't anybody else follow that same model?
Yeah, excellent place to land on. We've been speaking with Andrew Bolton of techrescue.io. Make sure to check out techrescue.io. Andrew, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for tuning in. Join us next time on Product-Led Growth Leaders. Take care.